from Jakarta, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The 5th Responsible Business Forum is held in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opens Library National Coordination Meeting. And now the news in detail. The 5th Responsible Business Forum on Food and Agriculture is being held in Jakarta on March 27 and 28, 2018. The forum is organized by Indonesia Business Council for Sustainable Development, IBCSD, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, and PIS Agro. President of the Council, Sinta Kamdani, explained the background of this forum is to make Indonesia achieve the targets which has been set in sustainable development, especially in the field of food and agriculture, namely the eradication of hunger and sustainable agriculture. In the forum, delegates from domestic and foreign businessmen discuss about sustainable food and agriculture not only from the economic aspect, but also from the social and environmental aspects. This forum will produce multiple targets.
Pertama itu bagaimana berbagai pemangku kepentingan itu bisa
Firstly, how about various stakeholders improve cooperation in the framework of SDG, so not only food and agriculture, but SDG as a whole? Secondly, how can we communicate the importance of trust and transparency in leading sustainable business? Sinta Kamdani further explained that he hoped that through this forum, it will also concern on the role of women in agriculture. In addition, the business sector is expected to further enhance the healthy lifestyle. This forum will continue with many working groups that are constantly monitored. Large entrepreneurs can help small and micro entrepreneurs to practice social and environmental businesses. Sinta Kamdani further explained that she hoped this forum will also concern on the role of women in agriculture. In addition, the business sector is expected to further enhance a healthy lifestyle. This forum will continue with many working groups that are constantly monitored. Large entrepreneurs can help small and micro entrepreneurs to practice social and environmental businesses. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the National Coordination Meeting of Library in Jakarta on Monday, March the 26th. On the occasion, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also launched the Digital Library of Indonesian Vice President. In his speech, Yusuf Kalla said that the meeting becomes a mutual steps to improve reading world of Indonesian people along with the development of digital technology.
Tentu kesempatan ini dalam rangka Rakernas itu juga.
In this opportunity, the National Coordination Meeting not only offered the book, but of how to read the digital book. Currently, the world has changed rapidly because the speed and knowledge cannot be separated with digitalization. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked the National Library to increase socialization widely, especially in the digital era. This is followed by the extent of digital library capacity that has not been utilized yet by the community. The socialization is needed to increase people's reading interest through digital library. And in the meeting, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also launched Digital Library of Indonesian Vice President, namely WAPRES Library, and can be accessed through Play Store Android. The Indonesian Petroleum Association, IPA, is set to hold its 42nd annual convention and exhibition from May 2nd to the 4th. The convention, themed Driving Indonesia's Oil and Gas Competitiveness, is expected to attract 25,000 visitors and 1,800 delegates from 20 countries. The Association Executive Director, Marloyin Wayong, told the Jakarta Post on Monday that speakers from Egypt, Malaysia, as well as multinational oil and gas companies would present on different countries' approaches to improving industry competitiveness. Novi Hernawati, the convention chairwoman, said the convention would include 115 presentations and 83 technical posters, as well as 4 technology sessions. The technology sessions will discuss the government's role in technological innovation, the impact of the Internet of Things in the upstream oil and gas industry, new business models in the gross split system, and technology for decommissioning. The Indonesian government is preparing to anticipate the surge of energy subsidy budget within the 2018 state budget. The Finance Ministry's Budgetary Director General Askolani said one of the steps is to prepare an additional 30 trillion rupiah to add to the energy subsidy allocation. Meanwhile, the Ministry's Director of Budgetary Preparation, Kunta Wibawa, said that the additional funds came from the reserves of various sectors. These include an allocation of urgent spending expenditure budget of 25 trillion rupiah. The existence of this post, Kunta said, allows the government to skip the process of revising the state budget despite an increase in spending. The subsidy raise is prompted by the increase of world oil prices that exceeded the government's state budget assumption, which was pegged at $48 a barrel. With a currency exchange assumption of 13,400 rupiah per US dollar. As of March, the average crude prices has reached $60 per barrel. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives DPR Energy Commission member Satya Widyayuda said that energy subsidy will continue to increase if oil prices remain on an uptrend. Indonesia, which is presented by Tri Mumpuni, founder of Business Institute and Community Economy, received the highest honor of ASEAN Social Impact Awards. The award is dedicated for socialpreneurs which drive and empowering people for a better life. This was a press release of Asia Philanthropy Circle APC Indonesia chapter, which was received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Monday. On the ceremony, which was held in Singapore, the 3 socialpreneurs from Indonesia, the Philippines, and Thailand were selected because they succeeded in giving big positive impact socially and economically in their countries. Tri Mumpuni has been selected as the first winner because of her success to give electricity access and economic development for remote villages in Indonesia. Tri Mumpuni, along with people, developed hydro power plant and educate the residents to operate the hydro power plant. On her works, Tri Mumpuni received the prize worth 50,000 Singaporean dollar to help boosting her efforts to provide a more viable life for communities in remote area. The award, which was held for the first time, was inspired by sharing spirit showed by A.A. Peng Liang, who also called as the Singaporean father of charity activities. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi on Monday had a meeting with U.S. Secretary of Defense James N. Mattis at Pentagon, Washington, D.C. They discussed efforts to maintain peace and stability in the region. In the meeting, Secretary Mattis appreciated Indonesia's leadership in the region. He said Indonesia's leadership is critical. Mattis also said at a ceremony welcoming Indonesia's top diplomat escorted by U.S. Department of Defense's website on Sunday that he believed the two nations have an opportunity, perhaps even a once-in-a-generation opportunity, for cooperation on shared economic, diplomatic, and security concerns. According to Mattis, it's important for the nations to work together and to share responsibility for regional security in a critical crossroads of global trade. And the last item, the Indonesian government plans to introduce an excise on plastic in May to reduce the use of the material. The Finance Ministry's Customs and Excise Director General Heru Pambudi said in Jakarta on Monday that a draft of a government regulation was being discussed by the relevant government agencies. In addition to the plastic excise, the government also plans to impose duties on several other products, including sweetened beverages and gas emissions. Although the amount is insignificant compared to the 148 trillion rupiah total revenue target from excise duties, Heru said the policy was expected to reduce the use of plastic, which had caused serious environmental problems. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The fifth Responsible Business Forum is being held in Jakarta. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opens Library National Coordination Meeting. And listener, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian Ambassador to New Zealand Protests New Zealand Columnist. Indonesian Ambassador to New Zealand Tantowi Yahya on Monday responded to the writing of Andre Yant, a political redactor of the NS Herald. The response was issued towards Andre Yant's writing entitled Visiting Leaders Showed Disrespect by Failing to Share the Platform with Jacinta Ardern, published NS Herald Daily on 25th March. Ambassador Tantowi Yahya stated that he had loudly protested to the redactor and urged him to make a clarification because what he wrote did not match the true reality. Rapid steps from Ambassador Tantowi Yahya should be appreciated because this could pose a misperception about President Joko Widodo. Ambassador Tantowi Yahya underlined Andre Yant's writing about the President Joko Widodo's refusal to meet the press and to give explanation after Baltra meeting with New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinta Kate Laurel Ardern at the Parliament House on March 19, 2018. This attitude was later translated by Andre Yant as the President disrespect. Ambassador Tantowi Yahya denied the allegations and gave an explanation of decision not to make the press statement. This is a proposal from the New Zealand Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade, which was then adopted into a joint decision. For public consumption, the result of the meeting will be summarized in a joint statement, which will be posted on the official website of both countries. He added that Indonesia appreciates the position taken by the host, fully supports it because there is nothing wrong with the attitude. Indonesia, through the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Wellington, has issued a joint statement. Both President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Jacinta Ardern noted the importance of 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and New Zealand. This is something that has to be built on a strong foundation of relationship between nations and has developed into the most valuable relationship for both countries. President Joko Widodo's visit to New Zealand also marked an increase in the bilateral relation with the comprehensive partnership. Firm stance should indeed be taken to anyone who might post a wrong opinion about Indonesia. Wherever if the opinion is published in the media, this may lead to different perceptions. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with March 27, 1958. Nikita Khrushchev became Prime Minister of Soviet Union and the first Secretary of the Communist Party. In 1953, Soviet Union leader Joseph Stalin died, but he had prepared a new Soviet leader candidate, Georgi Malenkov. Not accepting the appointment of Malenkov, another Communist Party official, Nikita Khrushchev, designed the scenario in such a way that Malenkov had to abandon the post of first secretary of the party, though still being appointed prime minister. But the position was made merely ceremonial. The post of first secretary of the Communist Party, which had great influence for the Soviet government, was left to Khrushchev. In 1955, Malenkov was ousted by Bulganin, who was an ally of Khrushchev. Later, Bulganin betrayed him by joining a group that wanted to overthrow Khrushchev as first secretary. The maneuver was already known to Khrushchev, so he could quickly get rid of Bulganin and take over the position of prime minister of the Soviets. On March 27, 1958, Khrushchev was inaugurated as chairman of the Council of Ministers of commonly called the Prime Minister of the Soviet Union. Over now to March 27, 1968, Suharto was sworn in as the second president of Indonesia. The rebellion of the Indonesian Communist Party on September 30, 1965, abbreviated as G30SPKI, gave birth to a great political crisis. On October 1, 1965, Suharto took over the army leadership. In addition to being confirmed as commander of the army, General Suharto was appointed commander of the Restoration of Security and Order by then President Sukarno. In March 1966, General Suharto received the March 11th order from President Sukarno. His job, restoring security and order and securing the teachings of Sukarno. Due to the worsening political situation after the movement, the People Consultative Assembly in the special session in March 1967 appointed Suharto as the presidential official. 1 year later, on March 27, 1968, Suharto was confirmed as the president of Republic of Indonesia. Suharto ruled for more than 3 decades through 6 elections until he was forced to resign on May the 21st, 1998. I'll end today in history with March the 27th, 2009. The dam forming Situ Gintung, an artificial lake in Indonesia, fails, killing at least 99 people. Situ Gintung, which is a Sundanese, which means Lake Gintung, was an artificial lake near to the town of Cirende in Tangerang District, Indonesia. It was formed by a dam up to 16 meters high, which was built by Dutch colonial authorities in 1933. The dam failed on March 27, 2000, draining the lake with resulting floods, killing at least 100 people. Situ Gintung is a small artificial lake built between 1932 and 1933. This artificial lake is located in the district of East Ciputat, South Tangerang City, Banten Province. This situation is actually an irrigation channel. Later, after independence, the channel was turned into a reservoir of tourism conservation. Originally, Situ Gintung area is off to 28 hectares, later narrowed to 21 hectares. Its average depth is 4 meters, with the width and depth like that, it is able to accommodate 1 million cubic meters of water. On March 27, 2009, Situ Gintung dike 30 meters wide with 6 meters high. The heavy rain caused the dike no longer able to withstand the flow of water due to heavy rain that flushed a day earlier. Around 2.1 million cubic meters of water hit a settlement located under the embankment and caused 99 deaths. Well, that was Today in History of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listeners, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the daily program My Indonesia. Today's topic is BPIP to optimize the practice of Pancasila. The Presidential Work Unit of Pancasila Ideology Development, BPIP, has increased its status to Pancasila Ideology Development Agency. This is based on Presidential Regulation No. 7/2018 on Pancasila Ideology Development Board, which has been signed by President Joko Widodo on February 28, 2018. Indonesian Future President Megawati Sukarnoputri appreciated the decision of President Joko Widodo, who has increased the status of the World Unit Presidents of Ideology Pancasila, to become the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency when meeting President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on last Thursday. Previously, after receiving the visit of Chairman of the BPIP, Yudi Latif, at Medan Merdeka Barat in Jakarta on Wednesday, Esquite Front, RadarJakarta.com, Chief of Indonesian Forces Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said that TNI will do its best ability to maintain Pancasila as the state ideology. Yudi's visit was aimed to request the support of TNI, either personnel, infrastructure, or main weaponry system or alutsista, in the socialization programs and stabilization of Pancasila values to the remote areas. Marshal Adi Cahyanto said that TNI would support the Pancasila programs that had been planned by Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, because TNI has a very good infrastructure across Indonesia. He also explained that later the Pancasila programs to be implemented by Pancasila Ideology Development Agency will be elaborated with the activities that had been scheduled by TNI. On the same occasion, Chairman of the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, Yudi Latif, disclosed that BPIP aims to synchronize with the TNI in a bid to prioritize the state ideology Pancasila. In addition, the TNI also has major duties to defend the country and to maintain the state ideology. Yudi further explained that joint forces can be synergized to maintain Pancasila now and then. He added that the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency only has an institution at the central level, meanwhile the TNI has a strong fleet from up to the bottom. The messages from Pancasila Ideology are expected to reach the lowest level of society, and the major role of TNI personnel through Bintara Pembina Desa or Babinsa is really required in the villages of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Aniasana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo revealed that he was still studying the names he would choose to be running mate for his vice presidential candidate in the 2019 presidential race. The head of state remarked that the political parties that supported him were also doing the same. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the National Coordination Meeting of Library in Jakarta on Monday, March 26. On the occasion, Vice President Yusuf Kalla also launched the Digital Library of Indonesian Vice President. The fifth Responsible Business Forum on Food and Agriculture is being held in Jakarta on March 27 and 28, 2018. The forum is organized by Indonesian Business Council for Sustainable Development, IBCSD, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, and PIS Agro. Indonesian Ambassador to New Zealand, Tantowi Yahya, issued a clarification on NZ Herald's political editor Audrey Young's opinion that Indonesian Vice President Joko Widodo had implicitly disrespected New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and the country. Indonesia, which is represented by Tri Mumpuni, founder of Business Institute and Community Economy, received the highest honor of ASEAN Social Impact Awards. The Indonesian government plans to introduce an excise on plastic in May to reduce the use of the material. And the last item, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi on Monday had a meeting with U.S. Secretary of Defense James N. Mattis at Pentagon, Washington, D.C. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you. Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce one of the typical culinary of Cirebon, West Java, namely Sate Kalong. Stay tuned. Listener, Sate Kalong is one of the typical food from Cirebon. Although the name is Sate Kalong, the basic ingredients is not derived from bat or kalong meat, but it made of buffalo meat. The satay has a sweet taste, almost like dendeng or jerky meat. The reason or the beginning of the name Sate Kalong, because the satay peddlers selling the food at the afternoon until all night. The peddlers of Sate Kalong also have their own distinctive character by hanging cow's bell or klenengan at the pikulan or yoke of the peddlers, so that sound of the bell will be listened when they walk surrounding the town. Sate Kalong is made from buffalo meat to make a difference from other satay, also because perhaps there were still many people who embraced the Hindu religion in Cirebon. Therefore, to honor those who do not eat beef, then buffalo meat is chosen as ingredient as the Sate Kalong. Listener, to make Sate Kalong is quite easy. Buffalo meat must firstly be boiled. Then the meat is cut into small pieces and stabbed. Before baking process, the buffalo meat dipped into the spices mixed with sugar, so it will taste a little sweet. While the vein sate, before being grilled, will also be dipped into spice-flavored herbs, but with saltiness. After grilled, the satay is served with peanut seasoning. Particularly, the nut is mixed with oncom. After that, Sate Kalong dough with broth of meat stock. Sate Kalong is a very interesting culinary to taste by the culinary tourists while touring in the night in Cirebon. It is typical food from Cirebon which suitable to pamper your tongue. Sate Kalong is peddled on Jalan Kesambi Dalam or to Chinatown Street near Kanoman Market, Cirebon. The price of the sate is 10,000 rupiah per portion. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sate Kalong, typical culinary from Cirebon. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics.
How
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and phrases and also guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, with the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, bagaimana rasanya? Or in English, how does it taste? Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of a conversation on bagaimana rasanya, or in English, how does it taste? The conversation is between Heru and Tony at a restaurant. So, Heru, Tony, mau coba nasi goreng ini? Tony, bagaimana rasanya? Heru, pedas. Tony, oke. Rasanya pedas sekali. Oh ya, mau coba sate? Rasanya asin dan manis. Heru, ya, enak. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to the theme of the day, which is, mau coba nasi goreng ini? Mau coba nasi goreng ini? In English, want to try this fried rice? Tony, bagaimana rasanya? Bagaimana rasanya? In English, how does it taste? Heru, pedas. Pedas. In English, spicy hot. Tony, oke. Rasanya pedas sekali. Oke, rasanya pedas sekali. In English, oke, it tastes very spicy hot. Oh ya, mau coba sate? Oh ya, mau coba sate? In English, oh yes, want to try sate? Rasanya asin dan manis. Rasanya asin dan manis. In English, it tastes salty and sweet. Heru, ya, enak. Ya, enak. In English, yes, it's good. In general, the taste of food is pedas, pedas, which means spicy hot, manis, manis, which means sweet, asam, asam, which means sour, asin, asin, which is salty, and pahit, pahit, which is bitter. To ask about taste, you can say, bagaimana rasanya? Bagaimana rasanya? Or in English, how does it taste? To answer it, you can mention the taste. Another example to mention the taste is like roti ini rasanya manis. Roti ini rasanya manis, which means this bread tastes sweet. Or obat ini rasanya pahit. Obat ini rasanya pahit, which means this medicine tastes bitter. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation once more. Heru, Tony, mau coba nasi goreng ini? Tony, bagaimana rasanya? Heru, pedas. Oke, rasanya pedas sekali. Oh ya, mau coba sate? Rasanya asin dan manis. Heru, ya, enak. That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia to our email to Voice of Indonesia email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be an attractive prize for selected senders. The exercise is mention your name, country, address, and favorite foods, all in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. Example, selamat pagi, nama saya Tina, saya berasal dari Indonesia. Makanan kesukaan saya, nasi goreng. Well, let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we present a song from North Sumatra region. In North Sumatra, there are several tribes with their respective languages, namely Batak and Malay tribes. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Butet by Betaria Sonata. Enjoy the song. Literally, the word of butet in Batak local language means a girl. Butet is also a beloved call given to baby girl who is not given an official name. Butet is one of the songs that is not only known in North Sumatra, but also in other areas in Indonesia. The song that plays with slow tempo has been a legendary work. The song tells the story of the father who's struggling and gorilla, wishing his daughter to be patient waiting for him to return home. The father also hopes his daughter will grow, so that later she becomes member of the country's Red Cross. The enemy must be defeated. That's the content of the song Butet, which is loaded with a spirit of nationalism. Therefore, the song Butet is categorized as one of the national heroic songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled O Tanah Batak, sung by Betaria Sonata. You've just listened to the song O Tanah Batak, which tells of the longing for the birthplace where he or she grew up. The song was performed well by Betaria Sonata. The singer who was born in Bandung began to popular through an album Hati Yang Luka in the 1990s. This song delivered Betaria won the Golden Cassette HDX. After that, she released several pop albums including Melayu Daily in 1999. Betaria Sonata also brought some songs from North Sumatra region. Since she has been a singer, Betaria Sonata released 30 solo albums. In addition to singing, Betaria Sonata also had played in two big screens of Kamus Cinta Sang Primadona and Biarkan Aku Cemburu. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Andingan and Boru Hasinahu by Betaria Sonata. Happy listening, sampai jumpa.
Masih helah.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you. Asia dohon Eropa satu Amerika nahu dege nahu bolusia le sorinang Afrika manang Australia nahu bereng nahu idai sude halai rohaku dan marna lupa saya masih hodor bakong tutaki tutano batak di Indonesia.
Haleda hasian
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.